In one word that it says, but it sure ain't a change in me. This lesson old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sing happy from it, now it keeps me from sin. Well, I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to the stake and hold it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true, if I when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This message
those wee hymn books away now, and if you'd like to take your other hymn book out, we'll sing 261. 261.
Where is your eye?
That was your pick line, wasn't it?
261. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's all of it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's make a joyful noise.
Morning's reading is from 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, and as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abide more and more. For ye know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond the fraud of brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, meet not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of God, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen.
Little verse of scripture that is repeated again in 1 Corinthians 15, but talks about the Lord coming back, it says, in the air. And there's literally nothing, we're literally waiting for nothing. I think maybe the last person to get saved before the Lord comes back for all the saved. Amen. The way things are going at the moment, the opposition to the scriptures and to the preaching of the cross, it is just getting worse and worse. So, amen. Well, I can cross one of my prayers off the list.
Which one's that, bro?
If you have to ask.
Oh, just keep in your... I need a lot more prayers than that.
Yeah, I'm really kidding. We're really pleased to have you back with us, both of you. It's better to be looking at you than praying for you. Even though we still pray for you, we're all glad that you could be here. I could tell by Monica's face, I could just see her face through the wee slot in the window. And I thought, who can Monica be talking to? Because that was Norman's car that pulled past there. And then I walked out and saw her. So that's a real blessing for a Lord's Day morning. That and the sunshine.
I don't know that we brought because I said to the Lord, you know. We need sunshine in our souls as well as outside our souls. Right?
That's it.
And he said, okay.
Does anybody have, do we have any prayer requests? Yes, indeed. They're down there already, aren't they? All right. Please do continue to pray for Monica's mom and dad. Monica's dad has had long-running back injury, which has given him a lot of trouble right now, and the mother has the same problem. Well, not the same.
In addition to everything else, she cracked her rib.
So she has issues with her spine, cracked her rib, and still recuperating from strokes and one thing or another. So we appreciate prayers for her mom and dad. Did you get your hand up, Steve? Nope.
I like our prayer requests for the nurses in ICU and the staff, and all the sort of nurses and staff in 44, and also for dialysis as well. They all do an amazing job, and around the people can all lie, regardless of how many hours they put in and how hard their work is. It's just fantastic. You know?
Absolutely.
And for Michael?
Yes, for Michael.
He's on.
Yeah, we put him down. You never heard from him again, did you?
Well, not been in touch with him, I don't know where he is.
That's okay. Whenever you spend that amount of time in hospital, you get good buddies with everybody that's in a similar predicament. And then when you get out, you tend to think, thank goodness I'm out of hospital, and you just want to wipe everything out of your mind.
Well, he did say that you're a very nice man, and I just looked at him and went,
he must have been in the wrong ward.
I just went, higher. Right?
He must have been in the head, he should have been in the head injuries ward.
He said to me, he says, are you a man of religion? So he must have heard me. I said, no, I'm not a religious man at all. He said, well, why have you got your minister come to you? I'm a man of faith, I'm not a man of religion. And I explained why. My faith is in Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Religion is man form.
There you go. Well, in faith, I still kept...
Which I keep telling you, by the way.
Well, I'm Steve, you know what? I had nearly forgotten all that. I'm just glad that you're back to remind me. And to keep Norman straight in his Bible readings too. What did we ever do without you?
I'm beginning to wonder.
Yes, indeed. Does anybody else have any prayer requests?
I'm all good in this house.
All good. Nothing else. Yeah, I think that's about that. There are all the other prayer requests are there. Everybody should have a prayer list. There'll be a new one this coming week, I think. And I'm glad to see everybody here. On top of you being here, you did it on the first day of British summertime, which is with an hour less preparation at the moment.
It wasn't intentional for the first day of summer.
The shock was so great, I actually forgot to set the phone's recording and going halfway through the first song.
Well, I warned you first, you've got me told, so
no, it's still a been happy, surprise. Brother. It's still a been happy to see. We're all glad that you're here. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Well, if you're game, would you lead us, please?
Dear Father, this day, Lord, and for your good and your goodness, Lord. Also, back to Steve, back to Trish, Lord, for that blessing as well, Lord. And we have a good thing for to get us up in the morning, Lord, and give us the strength to come to your church, Lord, and safety and powerful, Lord, and thank you for blessing us many powerfully with a lovely morning as well, Lord. We want for another, Lord, may our worship and everything in this service be pleasing and well being in your sight, Lord. And may we give us more grace, Lord, and more wisdom, more godly wisdom, Lord, and we also give us a blessing each and every one of us, Lord. May we do everything it should please you and a good morning. Give the tracks and give the witnesses among the people in Saturdays, Lord, but also among people that we talk to as well, Lord. Use it mightily to broke people's hearts and to pick their hearts, Lord, and to turn to thy Son for salvation, Lord. To receive our word to praise thy great holy name. Pray for the summertime, Lord, and bring people to churches, Lord, and Use thy Spirit, Lord, to convict souls, Lord, that they may turn from their ways, Lord, and seek the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, Lord. Pray for the service, Lord. Pray for Mark, Lord, and give us a blessing, Lord, and give them the words to speak, Lord, and use it in their lives, Lord, to a closer walk with thee. Mercy to us for Jesus Christ's name.
Okay. Thank you, God. All right, let's take our hymn books. Yes.
I forgot. An auxiliary nurse who took very special care of me, called Carol. Please pray for her. She's been talking with me about things. She's going back to Presbyterian Church. She's a believer in God, but she's not been to church for a very long time.
See if there. Church school.
I think she is, because she's a nice. She believes in God anyway. I can't do it in the fourth, she's going back to church.
True saying, and it might not have been a biblical saying, you can lead a horse to water and you can even have the water there.
No, I won't call her a horse without me. She's got a knife, don't
you? 143. Must have made you feel just like homesick.
Yes.
143. Yes. 143, let's sing that blessed assurance. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated, but let's make a joyful noise. Coming in, there's a bit of heat, and you're here. 234. 234, this will be our penultimate hymn of the morning service, and then we'll have our open our Bibles next. This is one that's maybe not so familiar with us, for us, but He is so precious to me. Hymn number 234. Be seated, as put our hymn books away, and if you'd like to Well, if you could open your Bibles at Romans 1 and 1, that would be great. But let's open our Bibles and turn to Romans 1 and 1. If you'd like to meet me there. That's a hymn for another day. Meet me there. Romans 1 and 1. I'd like to bring you a message this morning called the Chainsaw Church. Romans 1 and 1. This might hit a bit closer to some than others. Hopefully it doesn't hit at all. But the Chainsaw Church. We're going to read the whole of Romans chapter 1. A brilliant portion of God's Word. I know many people have their favourites. I would say I have my favourite for any given time. But this is one of my favourite portions of God's Word. It's almost like it has the whole of the description of man. And anyway, we'll read it and we'll find out. Amen. Romans chapter 1, the Chainsaw Church. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, but oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are of Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was dark. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, For even the women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do. Amen. It's a little bit of a dark description of the life of a willfully lost person, but unfortunately, you might as well be taking a walk out onto the street and just looking around you and seeing what it is. Let's have a word of prayer. We're taking verse 20 as our text. And amen. Chainsaw Church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Again, for Pat and Steve being able to be here this morning. Please bless each one of us in this slightly earlier feeling service that we normally have. And I pray for understanding, Lord, for everybody that hears the things that I have to say, and Lord, for the right words to say. Please bless those, Lord, that get a listen in on the internet or on a CD. Help us, Lord, always to be a help and pointing souls to the foot of the cross. We love you and praise you. Please don't be done with us, Lord. Please just walk up and down the hall here and just touch each one of us and give us what we need this morning. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Amen. There are some powerful verses, some that many Christians could do with learning, especially 16, and not being ashamed of the gospel. Some powerful verses later on in chapter 1 of Romans, especially when it comes just to speaking plainly about sin. The verse we're going to be spending the most time on, and even at that it'll not be the full time, is verse number 20, where it talks about the lessons of God being seen from the things that go on in the world. I am sure you probably have an idea that this lesson was maybe more inspired by cutting wood than by reading the scriptures, but it is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing how even with the simplest of things that you do from one end of the day to another, that you can see the comparisons, the lessons that God is trying to teach us from the Bible in everyday life. Before we get into that portion of God's Word, I just want to do a very quick 5 or 10 minute run through this portion of God's Word, and then we will get into the message proper. I just got to thinking, as we were reading that, whenever we write a letter to somebody, we put in, Dear John. That's the way we do it. But Paul here gives his pedigree. He gives a little bit of the scriptures. He even says who it is that saved him and who it is that he believes in. And of course, he makes a mention of the church as well at Rome, not Corinth, as I put in my notes. And he says that they have a good reputation, and that's always good to know, that a church is known for the preaching of the cross, and I pray that it continues for many, many years. Now, Paul as well wanted to come back there. It was not the Roman Catholic Church. It was the church in Rome. It was a Christian church in Rome. They did get, I am sure you can probably imagine, in the the seat of one of the most wicked empires that ever graced the face of the earth. Rome has always been a type of evil. Well, that's just the long and short of it. Rome and Egypt and Babylon are, and more so Sodom and Gomorrah, are synonymous with evil and wickedness and depravity in modern conversation, modern Christian conversation. Paul wants to get back because he wants to see how they're doing. He's heard that they're doing well, but more than that, he wants to get a bit of fellowship with them. And to this end, he keeps preaching and he keeps searching God's will. And he lets them know, because I am sure that you've noticed that regardless of whether or not it's put up in big 10 by 20 posters, there is not a great love of the gospel in the world. And it's maybe even worse than that. There's a great opposition to the gospel in the world. And it's worse than that because you're made to feel bad if you have any love for the Lord at all and a desire to tell people about the great things that he has done for us. So he just tells them, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And this is the reason why. I love the Lord and I love you. In fact, everybody, more than I love my own joys and pleasures in this world, and I'm prepared to go out of my way to tell you the things that you need, because it will save your soul and make a real difference in your life. So I'm not ashamed of it. You might not think much of it now, but there's going to come a day when you realize that it's the most important thing in the world, and it's not about fitting into the... As far as Paul was concerned, it wasn't about fitting in with the world, it was trying to get the world fitted into heaven, if you take that the right way. As you read on the rest of this portion of God's word, it talks about things that people are not fussed on. Everybody wants to talk about the love of God, and how forgiving God is, and how he will give you a purpose and joy and assurance. But they forget that if you don't get saved, that God's wrath abides with you every moment of every day, and it will fall upon you. Just like the Lord said, if a man falls upon the Lord, he'll be broken, but if the Lord falls upon the man, he'll be ground to powder, he'll be destroyed. God doesn't want that, which is why this book is still here. And he goes on to say then, you just look around you. Look around you and understand that there's punishment, there's consequences for evil actions. There, you can see that there is a God by looking at the creation of the world. And someday, even the most reprobate of sinners is going to stand in front of God for judgment, and he's not going to have any excuse. Lord, I never heard the gospel. He said, you only have to look around you. And then the last half, of Romans chapter 1 delves into sin in the sinner's heart. And it lists all the grossest of immoralities and the general behavior of the sinner. And it seems to be that people tend to stoop further and further and further the more that they try to avoid or blot out the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Simply don't want to hear God anymore. And you know, the only thing that I can say is that the lost soul that finds themselves in this state has worn out God's patience and long suffering. And there's something to be said for that amount of determination. Not in a good way, but that is determination, that you are determined to wear out the love and the long suffering and the patience of God. He just says, I'm done with you. I have tried reasoning with you. I reached out to you with my son. The whole of the creation preaches a gospel message. Even as you go day by day doing your stuff and things, it should speak to you of me. But God just gave them over to their vile affections. Anyway, we're talking about the Chainsaw Church. Verse number 20 is our text this morning. And as I was holding one of the many logs that Norman was operating a chainsaw on, I got to thinking about how amazingly focused I became on holding that piece of wood and making sure that that chainsaw blade was nowhere near my fingers. I don't know if you've ever seen a chainsaw cut through a piece of wood. It's not something that's as common as it used to be. But the chainsaw could go through my leg, a log the size of my leg, in about 10 seconds. Now, you would feel it, but it could go through my fingers in a second or two, and you wouldn't know it until the blood started running. More than that, the blade was sharp, and that just went, just once that engine started and it was set to that, it literally just fell through the wood. Those teeth going round faster than the eye can see. I'm sort of trying to give you an idea of just how dangerous these things are. And I got to thinking what it was that kept me safe whenever we were working at that. Well, it would be great if every chainsaw came with a health and safety officer that stood beside you and kept you at a minimum safe distance from the chainsaw blade. It would be great if the instruction manual didn't stop at the operating of the mechanism of the chainsaw and told you how to operate it. It would be even better if there was a wee device that you could, or an app on your phone that just played endlessly the instructions on how to operate your chainsaw. It would be great if the gloves made even the blindest bit of difference to the chainsaw, which they don't. Or maybe there was a safety cage. You know, all of these things to keep you from harm. Maybe even a wee bit of warning tape. You know what would have been handy, Norm? About 3 miles of warning tape that you could just wrap around the piece of wood so that you always cut on the other side of the warning tape. Wouldn't that be handy? If the person was an abject fool in charge of a device that could literally cut you in two, had all of that stuff, they'd be able to cut a piece of wood. But, you know, life would slow down a lot, and we would probably still be cutting wood if we were doing that. They're all helpful, all of those things. They're all helpful. But you see, when the rubber meets the road, when you get to the cold face, when life gets real, when it's you and the universe, it's not what's all around you that counts, it's what's inside you that counts. For me, it was the desire to hold the log and not get my fingers cut off. That was my one job. And I thought about that a lot over the past 3 or 4 days. For Norman, it was a steady hand and a strong arm and a steady eye or a clear eye, and just making sure that once that thing started biting into the wood, that it stayed on course and it didn't bounce out and onto my fingers. I appreciated that very much. So there was an element of faith in there. An element of trust. A big element of trust. That actually reminds me of my old minister back in Armagh Road Presbyterian Church. He used to be a butcher, but he wasn't a good butcher. He had a hand like that there. He had a hand like the old six-shooter because he lost 3 fingers in the butchery trade. The end of it all, it was down to me. Even with the best of intentions of Norman, if I hadn't been standing right, if I hadn't been holding tightly, my fingers, gloves and all, could have slipped into the path of the chainsaw. That's an area you want to stay away from, even the direction that the saw is coupled. As Norman reminded me that sometimes those chains can break. And the last thing you want is to be whipped by a chain going at who knows how many miles an hour, full of sharpened teeth. It's all down to me in the end. And I got to thinking, do you know what? There's a gospel message in that. And it's amazing where you pick them up. Even whenever you're thinking, I just better hold this wood and keep my hands out of the way, the Lord was saying, that is so like the gospel. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, believe it or not. I know for a lot of folks, and I know Steve is, I'm sure he is as pleased as punch to be able to be out and about this morning.
Yeah.
Going to the hospital during the week's just not the same as being out, is it, brother?
Not a chance.
There's a lot of things going on in the world, but there are some good things. But there's a lot of bad things going on. Some of them are harmful. And some of them are even fatal. On the one hand, you can go to church. I'm glad you did. You can sing hymns. And it's always good to hear the voices lifted up. You can pray. And it's always good to hear your name mentioned. You can thank the Lord, and that's always very, very important. Listen to the Bible reading and the expert and eloquent preaching. It's good for the soul. I have to even laugh at that this morning because I feel like I'm wading through water this morning. It's good for the soul, whether saved or lost. It's always good for someone to be reminded of the gospel. A lost soul might wander in and get saved, and a saved soul might go away with a wee nugget of wisdom. And the end result of being in church and getting saved, of course, is spent eternity. Spent right now with God, and spent eternity with Him as well. You can do that. It's one of the things that you can do. Or you can be like David, King David. You can lie in your bed till midday or even the evening. Your head can be going to all sorts of bad places, and then you can get up. And you can be involved in consuming alcohol or taking drugs. You can be involving yourself in immorality, in lying, in theft and murders, taking the Lord's name in vain, rebelling against those that love you. And you might not lose a finger, but you could lose an awful lot more. And a lot of times, folks don't even notice when the rot sets in. Unfortunately, if anybody here ever get a bad apple, they were just looking at a beautiful, big, red apple, and you think, I am really looking forward to that. You take a bite out of it, and about that much of it is the white, sweet inside of the apple, and you notice it's brown at the bottom. You think, ugh. And then you bust the apple open, and you see it's rotten on the inside, and you think,
that's the tasty.
That's that. No, I'm talking about it being bad, Steve. Not just the pips. That's the way life is for a lot of people. It looks good on the outside, but it's rotten in the middle. All those bad habits and those things that people cultivate, looking for a purpose. People are actually searching for God, but they don't want to take responsibility. Or they try to drown out the Holy Spirit tapping them on the shoulder. You get mixed up with sleeping around. You never know what you pick up. You might even become the author of your first murder. Of course, that will be sanitized by the government so you don't feel so bad. But drugs and violence and profanity and all of that, if you engross yourself in that, running away from Jesus, you're going to end up losing your health. Your family, your friends, your finances, your mind, and eventually your soul, just like the Lord said, eternal death and hell and the lake of fire for the endless ages of eternity. And all the while, probably blaming Jesus for not knocking on your door personally. Blaming his followers for not grabbing you by the lapel and dragging you to church. Blaming the wealthier Christians for not keeping a 20 by 10 billboard up there of the most famous verse of scripture in the world. Or your mummy and daddy for not taking you to Sunday school. Or for the minister for being a wishy-washy, good-for-nothing, do-the-best-you-can preacher. Blaming everybody. You know, like that health and safety officer and the safety cage and the tape. Why did we not have those things there as they could only count to six? Because all the other fingers are lying on the ground. Well, it all comes down to it, and I've had a sad experience on a number of occasions of ministering to people who have been fearsome smokers their whole life that end up gasping for air in their last legs, or writhing in pain from a disease that's eaten them whole. It is not everybody else that suffers that. It is that person. It is the person that indulged in it, they will suffer from it. Or on the other hand, that the person that indulges, if you like, or pursues the Lord God Almighty, they will rejoice in it. There's a great little verse in Hosea chapter 8 that talks about sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. And what is literally going on inside of your heart and mind will affect what you do in this life. Evil, rebellious, anti-God thoughts will bring about a bad end. I don't know if any of you have ever read, there's a little book called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners. Some of the last words of men and women that rejected God, they're awful. In fact, I believe there was one lost man that spent the night in an inn, in a room adjacent to a man who was stepping into eternity as a lost man. And he screamed and cried the whole night, and towards the end he said, "I can hear the devil walking up the stairs. I can see the devil at the door. I can feel him tying the chains around my ankles, and he's driving me to hell." And with that, he expired, and it scared this guy, I think, into getting saved. Got a couple of wee verses I just want to close with. Because when it comes right down to it, it's down to you and me what happens with our lives. This is what God said. With all of the information and all of the things that we have around and about us, this is what God said to Isaiah. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he said, "Come, let us reason together." Yes. Let's figure it out. "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, it shall be as well." He said, "I can do that for you. I can save your soul." You want to scoot away to the back of the Bible in Revelation 20. This is what Revelation, you don't have to. I'm saying metaphorically, Revelation 3 and 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." That is God's offer. "I will give you peace that passeth all understanding." Mm-hmm. "I will give you a purpose to seek and to save that which was lost." My job, you can have my job. Everybody wants God's power, but they don't want his job. "I will give you provision. I will quite literally work miracles in your life so that to all intents and purposes you are walking on water. I did it once. I'll do it again and again and again for those who put their faith in me. I will give you an assurance of salvation that will keep you. That no matter what's going on around and about you, even on your worst day when the world, the flesh, the devil, your family and friends and everything is working against you, you can still know you're going to hell. I will do that for you. My son, he will fight your corner when the devil comes accusing you. I will send angels to you to minister to you. And I have given you the Holy Ghost, who will be your friend and sticketh closer than a brother for every moment of every day, who can touch you, comfort you, and strengthen you, no matter what." This is what God's offer is to us. It's what we were made for. the best life that any soul can ever live. And it comes with its fair share of thrills and joy. And best of all, you get to keep your fingers. That's the Chainsaw Church. I hope that was a help to you. God bless you. Okay, we have. Did anybody pick a closing hymn, or was that up to me? Hymn number 319. It was up to me. Just a closer walk with me, if you're able. Let's stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated. Let's make a joyful noise. Please bless us and watch over us and strengthen and comfort and edify us this day. And Lord, even straighten us out too. Please be with the leaders of our countries. I pray for great conviction upon each and every one of them, Lord, that you would most certainly and observably work in each one of their lives. And for those, Lord, that are suffering at their hands, I pray you, Father, that a half-remembered gospel verse or a verse of scripture or old song, enough, Lord, to see those souls saved, I pray you, Father, please, that you would speak to them too. We just love you and thank you. Pray you, Lord, for good taste, a good bit of weather up at the present length. And Lord, most importantly, for your will to be done. I love you and thank you. Amen. Notes were dismissed. God bless you.